Today's share of the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in the Nedarim, Daf Yudalit. We're going to begin with Chazarova. We started the new second perek, the beautiful second perek, Ve'elu Mutarin, and we're going to Chazarova the Mishnah, which we did yesterday. So we'll begin on Yud Gimel Amud Beis. We're learning today again for Refuah Shleima for Reb Shimon Yaakov ben Rachel Shira, who's undergoing a major skin graft today to Be'ezus Hashem, help him with his difficulties with the burns that he had. Be'ezus Hashem, he should have a Refuah Shleima B'soch Shar Chola Yisro. Okay, we begin. We'll chazer over the Mishnah real quickly. The Mishnah, Yud Gimel Amud Beis, the new parak tells us, Ve'elu Mutarin, the following, if one makes a neder on these things to say the kikor should be like these things, so the kikor is mutter. He doesn't asu the kikor. The neder doesn't take effect. So if he says, Chulin she'ocha l'cha, this item should be like chulin. And again, we mentioned yesterday, we'll mention again now, it's obvious. If you say something is chulin, of course it's going to be mutter. Why would you think it's not? And the Gemara will start off in a few moments and explain what this means. Or if a person says, ki basur chazir, if a person says this should be like the basur of a chazir, of a pig. So that's an isser in the Torah, and as we pointed out numerous times, and the Ran tells us again, it has to be on something that a neder was made that is the item that now you're comparing to that item that was also only because of a neder and not intrinsically also min haTorah. So if you say this should be like basur chazir, that is not going to be a valid neder to take that kikar in front of you and make it asur. Or kavodus kochav, if you say this should be like an idol, this should be like something that's also about no. And as we pointed out yesterday, Ran says each of these has a different chiddush versus the other one before. Some of them are also about no, some of them can't be batel, some of them can be batel, some of them have tum associated with them. So each one has a chiddush compared to the other one, and that's why each is listed over here. Kavodus kochav, you say this should be like an idol, or if you say it should be kaorus levuvin, this was the way that they would go and kill certain animals to serve it to their avodah zara. And they would pierce it in a certain way and take out the heart, so the hide would then have a certain hole in it, so ki'oros levuvin, so that is also asur b'hanah, that is something that you can't get benefit from, but the neder won't be matis on it because it's intrinsically asur. If you say kinevelos, and the Bach adds the words kitrefos, doesn't have it as a vav, kinevelos or trefos, but kinevelos, so if you say it should be like kitrefos, so then either of those two lushonos would not have the ability to have the neder be matvis onto it, and the kikah would be mutter. Or if you say kishkotzim, and we have the girsa urimosim, and again the Bach says it should be kishkotzim or kirimosim. So these are again things that are awesome in the Torah, and not something that you made also via neder. Or if you say kichalas aron uchutrumoso, if you say this should be like the dough, the isa, that is taking off mufresh from it, a piece of challah, which is like a type of truma that's given to the Kohen, or actual truma that you give to the Kohen. So even though you verbalize these and say that they are aser, but it doesn't have the same status as you made it via a neder, and therefore you are not going to be matfis onto this, the kikar, and it will still be permissible. And as the Mishnah says, mutter. Some have the girsa, and you can see this in Agos Tzionim, harei ze mutter. All of these situations, the kikar would be mutter. Or the item that you said, I will eat from you, it will be mutter. Okay. If a person, however, says, Omer le'ishto, a man says to his wife, Harei at olai ki'ima, if a man says to his wife, and we're dealing, as the Ran pointed out yesterday, with an Amma Oritz over here, and Midarai says, we'll see in the Gemara, it doesn't really take effect, but since this is a common scenario that a person might make Nedarim on his wife, so therefore the rabbis didn't want the Amma Oritz to say, well, if this one didn't take effect, then he makes a real Isser Neder on his wife that will take effect. It wouldn't. He would think it would not take effect. So therefore, the rabbis were machmir in this situation and said, "No, he needs a pesach harota. Hare atalai ki'ima." If he says, "You are also to me like my mother is also to me," so even though his mother is also intrinsically min haTorah and the neder therefore should not take effect at all, so the rabbis were gozer in this situation that posel pesach mimokum acher. Two things over here the Ran points out. One, we make him do a haTorah. He has to have charota, and the rabbis have to say mutulach, mutulach, mutulach. And in this situation, they also don't say, well, if you'd known that this was a pagam in the covet of your mother or your father, would you have said this? So we don't accept that as the charota. It has to be charota, what we call mimokum acher, some other form of regret that he made this neder. And the reason why is the Mishnah tells us, shlo yakel rosho lekach. A person shouldn't become accustomed to making such a nedarim because these are possible, much more shriach to make a neder like this between a husband and a wife than the other items that are mentioned over here, that you should make a kikar suddenly should be like oros levuvin, is unusual, whereas unfortunately there could be ketata, there could be a conflict between a husband and wife, and a person might make a neder, so therefore the rabbis in this situation were more machmir. Gemara will explain a lot of this again. So we start off with the Gemara. The first question is, why did we start off and say, chulin sh'ochaloch, why did you have to tell me that? Of course, if I say something should be like chulin, then it's mutter. Why do I need the Mishnah to tell me that? So the Gemara doesn't even ask the question, just goes right into the answer. And it says, Taima, the Amar chulin shalchalok. The reason why our Mishnah taught us this is because it just taught us with the words chulin, as opposed to some other verbiage of chulin. So when he says, this should be like chulin, it's mutterloch. But the implication is, ha Amar lachulin shalchalok, which we've explained previously, means that it should not be chulin, that which I eat with you. In other words, it should be a karban, that which I eat with you. That would be mashma, lo lechulin, lehevi el lecarbon. If he used the lashon of lachulin, that would imply that he's saying it should not be chulin what I eat with you. In other words, it should be a karban what I eat with you, and therefore that would be a valid hatfasa. So therefore, that's the chiddush of Mishnah wanted to tell us, that only chulin shochel lecha is in fact going to be permitted. But if he said lachulin shochel lecha, that would essentially be saying that it shouldn't be chulin that which I eat with you, and therefore it would be a karban, and therefore it would be matvis. So who's the author of our Mishnah? The Gemara says if that was the chiddush. Then who's the author of our Mishnah? Mani Masnisen. So it can't be Rav Meir, because e Rav Meir. As we turn to Yudalit Amud Aleph, we've had this numerous times already. The Rav Meir doesn't hold the implication over here by saying it shouldn't be chulin. That implies that if it is not chulin, then it's going to be a carbon. So that would be the implication over here. And we don't learn from this negative statement that he said it shouldn't be chulin, that it should be, yes, it is going to be a carbon. So that can't be Rav Meir. So obviously, the author of a Mishnah can't be Rav Meir. Ella, Rav Yehuda. It must be Rav Yehuda, who, as we pointed out previously, which is a good question right now, we had said previously, if you hold lachulim, ochalucha does take effect, so then this Mishnah must be authored by Rabbi Yehuda. But Hainoreisha, this is what we learned in the previous parak. So why are you telling it to me again? There's no chiddush over here if this is Rabbi Yehuda. Shmuel says, no. You're right. I did diktani kibsar chazir. Since it said, that which I eat from you should be like the basar of a chazir, or kavodos kachavim, and in those situations we have to say that it's also, so it throws in lachik tani chulim, it throws in chulim for the ride. As the Ran points out, the Ramasla, I did diktani, he says, klomer, ha diktani chulim sho'ochalacha, you're right, lav legufi yitzdrich, I don't need it for anything, because the statement that you tried to say, that I already knew from the previous parak. The lav le diyuka, it's not coming to be a specific diyuk over here. Ah, some din is learned by chulin. No, ela agav gerara, dishaira, basach behachi. So since it's mentioning all these other things, so it says chulin as well. No chiddush at all. And as Tosus points out as well, the same idea. He says there's no chiddush here whatsoever. It's just thrown along for the ride, what we call kidei nizba. And that's why, lehachi toni chulin, but no chiddush. Alternatively, Ravino amara different teretz. Hachi toni, he says, this is the reason why the Mishnah needed to teach chulin to us, because the elu mutarin kechulin. This statement over here is telling us that all of these things are mutter. What do you mean it's mutter? It's mutter like it's absolutely chulin. So that's why it says chulin shani ochalcha. That is really telling us over here that all of the other things are like chulin. Kibsar chazir, kavodis chachavim. When you say this should be like kibsar chazir, this should be like kavodis chachavim, the answer is it's mutter. It means it's like chulin. There's absolutely no nether taking effect here whatsoever to asarit. So that's Ravina's teretz. The Gemara doesn't like Ravina's teretz. And we'll ultimately conclude that the first teretz is the correct teretz. And the reason why the Gemara doesn't like Ravina's teretz is as follows. V'i lo tana chulin. If you didn't say the words chulin over here, what would I have thought? Hav amina boy shela? Would I have thought that, in fact, you have to go and be mashal on this neder, that the neder does take effect? It would be Osir like Basur Chazir, it would be also like Avodas Chochavim. Is that really your Havamin over here? In that situation, Havamin Aboy Shela, Umiya Kalatsuki, Adai Tahaki. How could you possibly think that you would need to ask Shela? Because the Mishnah says only in the last case when he says, you should be Osir, man says to his wife, you should be Osir to me just like my mother is Osir to me. So Amiktani Seifa, Haomel Ishta, Are Atalaiki Ima, Post Lo Pesach, Mimokamacher. Only over there do we say that you need to have a Hataras based in, and you need to find the Pesach from another place. You can't use Kavod Imo, Kavod Aviv. But in this situation, you do not need to do anything. Mechal Dereisha, Lo Boy Shela. So how could you have a Halim in a Ravina to say that I might have thought, if it didn't say Chulin, that I'd have to go and have a Charata and have Hataras to Dorm? So that can't be the answer. Your Rogoi says, you're right, Ela Machvarta, it's white, it's clear. The answer of Ravina is incorrect. And the first answer that we gave, Chulin, Mivela Naspa, it just comes along for the ride. It didn't have to be stated, but once it stated all the other things, so it said Chulin as well, without any real Chiddush being taught. Okay, now the Gemara asked the question, which we've answered previously, and says, how do we know, minohani mili, that a neder cannot be matvis over here on a dover that was intrinsically osur, a dover osur, like basur chazer or avodas kuchavim, but only can take effect when you're comparing to something that was made osur via a neder. So how do we know that? So the Gemara says, based upon the pasuk, we had this pasuk many times, and we had discussed this in the first parak, ish ki yidor neder la'ashem. The only time it will take effect is if you make a neder that this item, this kiko, should be aser like something else that you made aser via a neder. Ish ki yidar neder l'Hashem. You're making a neder on something that was already neder to be compared to. The hatfasa, the item, the kiko, should now take the status of that thing that you're comparing it to. Only will work as a neder if the item that you're comparing it to, you made aser via neder. This kikar should be aser like that item that I asered via neder, such as a carbon. You made it into a carbon. So then now the kikar can have the hatfasa of being like that carbon. But if you say it should be like basur chazir, the pasuk says no, that will not work. God questions this and says, Ihachi, if this is the pasuk that you're basing this all on, we have a similar pasuk that should seem to say that an iser also should take effect. Afilu b'davar asunami. Why? Because the pasuk there says, Dok siv, lesor isor al nafsho. So that seems to say that the only way you can make something asur is if you make it asur based upon something else that is asur. So therefore, maybe hatvasa should take effect based upon this pasuk on a davar that is intrinsically asur, not that you made asur via neder. So he says, no, we need that pasuk, lesor isar al nafsho, to teach you something else. Lesor isar miboyele, you need that lichedetanya, for the following brisa. And this brisa we had earlier on Daf Yud Beis, and it said over there, ezehu isar ha'omer b'torah v'chulei. Now the v'chulei is, Omar, he says, hareini shlo ochal bosor, v'shlo esh tayayin, kayom shemeis bo'oviv, etc. We had there that he's comparing to the day that his father died, which he took upon himself a neder not to eat on that day. So in that situation, the Rosh had pointed out, beferish, that it says, when it means ezu isor omer b'torah, it means ezu isor neder ha'omer b'torah. Under what circumstances does a neder go and take effect over here? And it had to teach us that din. So therefore, it had to teach us the din that it could take effect on a situation where he says it should be aser, like the day that his father passed away, and he said he wouldn't eat meat or drink wine on that day. So therefore, we need this pasuk, lesor isar nafsho, to teach us that din, and it's not available to teach us the din that a hari kikar zeh should be like avodas kochavim, or should be like basur chazir. It's not available to teach us that that takes effect, and therefore, it doesn't take effect. As you can see in the Ran and Dibra Maschil, Umafarkina, we answer, lesor isar, midboye lichedetanya. You need it for this din, kelomar. Bekivan de efshar l'ukma l'hach drosha l'hochi, since you could learn it this way, mukvis l'amisham disvarihi, the matvis v'davar asur lo chayil. Because it doesn't intrinsically make any sense that something should be able to take effect. And that's why if you have the pasuk to tell us that it can take effect, it does. But otherwise, dibishlama b'davar another matzi l'tvuse, because we have the pasuk. Because he says, v'lomar, kikar ze alai b'neder. So if he were to say, this kikar should be also to me, so that would work. So he says, when he adds, it should be like a carbon, that's like a yad. Shinesar ayide neder, it's a yad of a neder. Avoki matvis bedover osur lo klum kamar. He didn't say anything. The hechi lema, how would you think that he says, kikar ze alai, ki basu chaz, it should work. Lo efshar, the basu chaz, asrei rachmona. The Torah forbade that. You didn't have anything to do with it. Lu lo asrei. And he can't go and make it osur. So the bottom line is, we have a pasuk telling us that a neder could be matvis on something that was nadur, but a neder cannot be not matvis on something that was intrinsically aser. As we've pointed out many times, this is the source. Okay. Then we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Homili ishto, hare atolai ki ima v'chule, if a man were to tell his wife, and we're dealing with an Am Haaretz, and he tells his wife that you should be aser to me just like my mother's aser to me, so then in this situation, while, as we'll see, on a deraisa level, it doesn't take effect. The rabbi said it takes effect on a derabbanan level, and he needs to get a pesach harata from something else, not from kavod imo, kavod aviv, because they need the harata to come from some other place. Now, Urminu, this seems to not agree with the following brisa. So our mishnah seems to be in contrast to the following brisa. The brisa says, harei atolai kibsar ima. The brisa says, if a person says, you should be also to me, says to his wife, Rahman al-San, says, you should be also to me, just like my mother is also to me, like the basar of my mother is also to me. Ki basar achosi, like the basar of my sister is also to me. This is the lashon in the pasuk. Ish ish. El kosher bisaro lo sikru legaloserba. So they use that lashon of basar. That's what it uses here in the brisa. Doesn't mean any difference than if he had said ima, or he says kibsar ima, or achosi, or kibsar achosi. But it just uses the lashon of the pasuk. Or if he says that you should be to me like orla is also to me, or you should be to me like ukikilaya hakerim is also to me. Orla and kilayim are dinim that deal with produce. Arla is the growths of a tree are also in the first 3 years, and kilaya karim is when you mix various types of produce together, such as you have grain in a vineyard. So lo amar klum, in all of these situations, since these are dvarim ha'asum in Torah, so based upon the principle that we just said, so lo amar klum, he didn't say anything. Now, when it says here lo amar klum, as Tosus clearly points out in Dibra Maschu or Minu, he says diktani lo amar klum. Afilu midirabanan lo boy shela. He doesn't require hataras nedarim, even midirabanan, because it says lo amar klum. He said nothing. So the brisa seems to disagree with our mishnah, which required that hataras nedarim be done. So how do you reconcile this? So Amar Abaye, I said no problem. Lo amar klum. It means here he didn't say anything midaraisa. That's what the brisa is telling us. However, v'tzarich shela midirabanan. But no, the brisa also agrees that he would require shela midirabanan. So Abaye says that the brisa and the mishnah aren't talking different things. They're both saying the same thing. The mishnah focuses on the din derabanan, and the brisa just focuses on the din deraisa. But they're saying the same thing. Midaraisa, both of them agree you don't need anything. It's not matbis. But the rabbis with gozer over here, midirabanan, that you need hataras nedar. Fine, that's Abaye's teretz. Very simple. Rava Amar, Rava gives a different teretz. And again, he uses the lashon of Rava Amar as opposed to Amar Rava. Rava isn't disagreeing with what Abaye said. He's just giving a second teretz. He would not necessarily disagree with what Abaye says, but he says there's another teretz as well. Rava says, one is talking about the Braisa is talking about Talmid Dechachamim. By Talmid Dechachamim, as I had already alluded to, there is no need over here to make a gzeira. Talmid Dechachamim understand the difference. And therefore, when it's an Isser, they understand it's not Matvis, and they won't make the mistake to think, oh, if it's not Matvis by an Isser, it's not Matvis by a real nether item, and they're not going to have a takola in that situation. So the Braisa is talking about Talmid Dechachamim. You don't have to make a din derabbanan as a gzeira. Whereas the Mishnah is talking about an Amma Aretz, Hobi Amma Aretz, as I pointed out. And if the Mishnah is talking about an Amma Aretz, the rabbi said, we are concerned. If you tell him in this situation, Lo Amar Klum, you didn't say anything, so the next time he makes a neder against his wife, and it would be Matfis, he's going to say, no, just like last time it wasn't Matfis, here it's not Matfis as well, and it'll be over his neder, and it'll be a real problem. So therefore, by Amaratzim, as our Mishnah is referring to, the rabbis made gzera, but in the braisa it's referring to talmidei chachamim. So Rabbi says there was no need to make gzera, no potential takala in that situation. And I'll show you that this is right. Rabbi says, "Well, Tanya, this is benichusa." As both the Ran, Tosos, and the Rosh will say over here that this is benichusa. This is the 10% of the time when the Gemara has Vatanya, it means that this is coming to bring a proof. Normally, Vatanya, Vatanya, but it says otherwise. But every now and then, it says Vatanya binichusa, which means it's a riot. And that's what it is over here. Because the Braisa says, Hanoder ba Torah lo amar klum. If a person says, now this is said in the Lashon of a Neder, but as everyone points out over here, that this is where another example where we sometimes refer to a neder as a shvuah and sometimes refer to a shvuah as a neder. So here we're really talking about a shvuah. So hanoder by Torah, if a person makes this neder shvuah based upon a Torah, so lo amar klum, he hasn't said anything. In other words, it's not going to be effective. Under what circumstances? V'amar Yochanan, however, v'tzarech she'ela l'chocham, but you do need to have a hataris nedarim over here on this shvuah, because the rabbis were concerned over here that you may, in this situation, say it doesn't take effect. When you do make it in a situation where it does take effect, you're going to say, no, it's not going to be taking effect there as well. So again, midirabanan, Rabbi Yochanan says, the rabbi said you need to have shela on your neder. This is the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. Rav Nachman comes to qualify and he says, well, I'm a Rav Nachman, but the Talmud Chacham, Eino tzarech shela. If it was a Talmud Chacham, he doesn't require shela. There is no concern over here that he won't understand the difference between something that it's matfis on and something that it's not matfis on, and therefore there's no reason for a Talmud Chacham to require shela. Talmud Chacham just would be also lo amar klum. This, the Gemara says, this is exactly, Rava says, what we said a moment ago, that there's a difference between a Talmud Chacham and an Am HaAretz. Now, we turn to Yudalit Amid Beis with the word Tanya. And if you see in Os Aleph, in the Hagos, in Siyunim, he says, he brings down Vaharbe Rishonin Garsinon Gufa, that the word Tanya over here should be replaced by the word Gufa. And then again, this is another example of the Loshon of Nedarim is Mishuna. It's a little bit different. Every place else we would say, now let's go back and discuss what we just said. And we use the terminology of either Gufa or Omar Mar. If you're quoting the whole thing, it's usually Gufa. So here, it should say Gufa, according to the Girsa of many Rishonim. In any event, Tanya or Gufa, Hano Der Batorah, if somebody says, this Lashon, I'm making an Eder over here by the Torah, so then, Lo Omar Klum. As we just pointed out, he hasn't said anything. That's what the Brisa said. Now, if he were to say, however, Bema Shekosuvba, he has a Torah there, and he says, I'm making my neder based upon what's written in the Torah, so then, Dvar Kayamim, this is in fact going to be a good neder. And again, as I pointed out, we're really dealing here with the Shvuah, using the Lashon of neder, which again is somewhat common. Maybe this is another example of the Lashonos and Nedarim or Mishuna, that we're not so medactic to use the Lashon of neder or Shvuah all the time. In any event, if he says, I'm making this Shvuah, we have B'masha Kosuba, but what's written in this Torah, so then it is a valid Shvuah, the Dvar of Kayamim. If he were to say then, now so there's the third part of this Brisa, if he were to say, Ba, Ubimasha Kosuba, also Dvar of Kayamim. And he says, I'm making this neder based upon this Torah, as well as what's written in it, it's Dvar of Kayam. So we have three parts of this Brisa. The first part is, he just says, Ba Torah, Lo Omar Klum. Second part is, he says, B'masha Kosuba, so then it's valid, it's Kayamim. And the third part is, he says, Ba, U'b'mashe Kosuba, by the Torah and what's written in it, it's also going to be Dvar V'Kayamim, the neder takes effect. So Gemara says, obviously, the third part should be good. Why would you think that if he adds Ba to B'mashe Kosuba, that should ruin it? If B'mashe Kosuba works, so certainly Ba B'mashe Kosuba should also work. So that's what the Gemara now asks. Tani, B'mashe Kosuba Dvar V'Kayamim, Ba B'mashe Kosuba Tzorich L'Meimer, why would you think you'd have to say the third part? If you said the second part, so you told me the dinner ready. Why would the third part make it any worse by adding on ba? You're again saying b'mashe kosuba. So Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman tells us no, it's not a problem. Lo kasha. This is talking about different scenarios. Ha, in the sefer when he says ba or b'mashe kosuba, you needed to tell me the dvar of kayamim because the machsa or raisa aara. The Torah there is not being held by him. The Torah there is in front of him. And it's not literally on the ground, because you're not allowed to leave a sefer Torah on the ground, but it's on a shulchan. It's on a table in front of him. And he says, Ba, Ubimasha Kosuba. So therefore, in that situation, and only in that situation, when he uses the Lashonus of Ba, telling you I'm talking about the Torah, and then Ubimasha Kosuba, so then in that situation, it's a valid neder, a valid shvua. Ha! But in the middle case, where he just says, B'masha Kosuba, D'nokit lo b'yodeh, he's holding it in his hand. And therefore, you don't have to say, Ba, u'b'masha Kosuba. It's enough to say, B'masha Kosuba. Now, Gemara explains further. When it's Mach Salara, in what we're saying is the Sefer, the third part of this Brisa, where you're required to say, Ba, and u'b'masha Kosuba, because it's lying on a table in front of you, you're not holding it, because Daita Agvile. You might have said that he's referring over here, not to the words inside of it, but he's referring to the gvil, the actual cloth itself, but not the words inside of it, and therefore, it wouldn't be valid. The oath would not take effect. Therefore, he has to say ba and ubamasha kosuba. So he needs both lashonos there when it's lying in front of him. When it's on the table in front of him, he's not holding it. But nokat lo biyodeh, when he's holding it in his hands, obviously, daite al hoaskorishiba. He's obviously talking about the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's written inside the Sefer Torah, and therefore, just saying b'masha kosuba is enough. So that's Rav Nachman's teretz, that there's a difference between the middle case of him holding it where versus the third case where he has it lying in front of him on a table, and he's not holding it. So in the second case, it's enough to say b'masha kosuba. In the third case, you have to say ba and u'b'masha kosuba. That's teretz number one. We're getting two other terutzim. V'bayi seima, teretz number two, that we're dealing over here, the machso al ara. In both scenarios, both two and three, in the second case we said b'masha kosuba, and the third case is ba b'masha kosuba, they're both talking about that he's not holding it. It's lying on a shulchan in front of him. It's on a bima in front of him. Aye, so then what's the chiddush? Why are you telling me the second and third case? Isn't the third case obvious? Someone says, no, it's not. This is the chiddush over here. The afagav, the machso al ara, even though it is on the shulchan in front of you. It's on the quote ground in front of you. You're not holding it. Kivan the amar b'mashakasuba mahani. It's enough, even when it's not being held, to just say b'mashakasuba. We don't assume like we did a minute ago that it's daite agvile, that you're thinking it's on the parchment and not on the askaris inside. No, according to this teretz, even when it's on the ground in front of you, i.e., it's on the shtenda, on the bima in front of you, that is clearly, you're not talking about the gvil, you're talking about the askaros. Kivan daba b'mashakasuba, but that's enough, mahani. And therefore, it taught me that din. And by the way, it throws in the third din as well. This is a style that we have all the time. It tells me the second din, and I don't even have to tell you the third din. But I tell it to you anyway. So therefore, you're right, the third din is no real chiddush, it's just a style. Zoo, then tzarech lomar zuk tani. So it tells me the second din, that it had to tell me, because that's a big chiddush to say that if it's machsal ara, even if he just says b'ma shekosuba, the shvul will take effect. And then it throws in for the ride as well. And as well, zoo, then tzarech lomar zuk tani. And if he said ba, b'ma shekosuba, certainly that will work. So that's teretz number two. They're both talking about machsal ara. Teretz number three, b'ma yisema, Kula mitziyasa nami dinaket lebiyode. Kula mitziyasa, the entire middle part, meaning part number two and part number three. It's a strange lashon again. I think again, lashonos nedarim are mishuna. So the entire middle part, it could have just said mitziyasa nami. So the second and third part are dealing with dinaket lebiyode. Like teretz number two was that they're both talking about masal ara. Teretz number three, this Ibai Seima, is saying that they're both talking about what you're holding in your hand. The Nokle Biyade. Then why do you need both the middle part, number two, where he just says Masha Kosuba, and you need Ba and Masha Kosuba, part number three, the third part of the Bryce as well? So here's the Chedishwaka Mashwalot. Kivan the Nokle Biyade, since he's holding it in his hand, Afagav the Lo Omar Elo Ba. The third case is now reinterpreted. The third case is not that he said Ba Uba Masha Kosuba. The third case is he just said ba. The second case, he says, Masha Kosov ba. Clearly, that's good if he's holding it. No doubt about that. The Chiddush is the third case. He didn't say both Lashonos. According to this, he bought Yisema, the third scenario in the Mishnah, he just said ba. He didn't say Masha Kosov ba. So the Chiddush is, Afagad lo omar elo ba. Even though in the third part of the Braisa, the last part of the Braisa, he didn't say the entire lashon of ba ube masha kosu ba. He just said ba. Nevertheless, that is a valid shvua. And it says, if kiman di omar ba ube masha kosu ba domi. And therefore, the chiddush over here is the third part. He just said ba. And yet it's a valid nether if he's holding the Sefer Torah. It's not repeating masha kosu ba as in the second scenario, but it's telling us if he just says ba, we don't say it's on the gvil. We say that it's talking about Masha Kosuba. It says, if he had said Masha Kosuba, that's teretz number three. And with this, we go on to the next Mishnah. Next Mishnah tells us, if a person uses a lashon of konam, this should be a konam, shani yoshein. The Ram points out, the gear says shani yoshein, not she'eni yoshein. And in every one of the items mentioned over here in the Mishnah, the Ram points out that, in Dibra Maskul, konam shani yoshein, behulu garsinon sha'ani, below Yod, without the second Yod. And in Shvuos, in the Gemara in Shvuos, it deals with Garsinon She'eni Yoshein, the Yod, another Yod, in between the Aleph and the Nun, there's a second Yod, the Mishum de Nedarim Matvis Cheftso Anafshe. Again, as we pointed out, in Nedarim, you have to be Matvis an item, whereas by a Shvuah, it can work even on an action. So over here, he has to say, it should be also this kikar, as the Mefarish says, Homer Yoser Lai Kikarbon, this kikar should be to me like a karbon, im ani yashin, if I sleep. Oh, if I was mahalik, as we'll see in the Mishnah, or any of the other Lashonos, so this item should be also to me, shani yashin, if I sleep, so then, or if he says shani medaber, or if I talk, or he says, oh, shani mahalik, or if I walk, so then, all of these are valid Lashonos, and the neder will take effect. Or if he says, Ha'omer, now we have the gear, so Le'isha. But if you look at Oz Gimel, and that goes to Tziyunim, it says it should be Le'ishto. And he says, this is the Rov Kisvayan had this Lashon. It makes sense, because he only say this to his wife. If a man says to his wife, Ha'omer, Le'ishto, Konam, you should be also to be like a Karbon, Shani, Mishamshech, that if I have relations with you, in all of these scenarios, he says, Yoshein, or Medaber, or Mahalech, or Mishamshech, so in all of these situations, Harei Zeh, Belo Yachel Dvaro. The neder takes effect, and if he goes against what he was know there, so he's over the isser of lo yachel dvor. You can't go make your words profane. You can't go and make what you said not be true. You have to go and follow through on your neder, or do hataras nedar. So the Gemara starts off and says, Itmar, if a person were to say, konim einai bishena hayom, the person is saying that it should be awesome for me to sleep, konim einai bishena, that should be awesome for me to sleep hayom today, im ishan lemocha, if I sleep tomorrow. Now, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. He's not allowed to sleep today if he sleeps tomorrow. So what should he do in this situation? Now it's today. Can he sleep or can he not sleep? So I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm a Rav. Rav Yehuda says the name of Rav, al ishan hayom, don't sleep today, because maybe, Shema, Hishan Lamacha, you may end up sleeping tomorrow, and then retroactively it would be awesome for you to sleep today, based upon your neder. So therefore, Rav Yehuda Merav says, you're not allowed to sleep today, because of the chance that you'll sleep tomorrow. No, if you don't sleep tomorrow, so no problem. You didn't sleep today also, no big deal. But, in case you do sleep tomorrow, then it was awesome for you to sleep today. So therefore, Shema, Hishan Lamacha, since you may sleep tomorrow, don't go to sleep today, because there's a chance that you'll be breaking your neder. That is the opinion of Rav Yehuda Merav. Rav Nachman Omar, Rav Nachman says, Yishan Hayom, go to sleep today as much as you want. No, don't sleep tomorrow then, because then it would have been retroactively awesome for you to sleep today. But we don't concern ourselves. If you're sleeping today, we'll let you sleep today. And we're not concerned that if you go to sleep tomorrow, you'll have retroactively been over your nether. No, so don't go to sleep tomorrow if you go to sleep today. As the Mefarish points out, tomorrow he'll be very careful not to sleep, because he knows that if he sleeps tomorrow, he'll have retroactively broken his neder. So therefore, he will be very careful. He'll be very careful, because he knows he'll get malchus for having broken his neder, and therefore a person will be careful. So that's Rav Nachman's opinion, a person will be careful. And the Gemara continues and says, Umode Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda is moded to Rav Nachman that if the person said Ba'omer, the other way he says, Konim einai bishino lemachar imishan hayom, he says a different lashon. He says, if I sleep today, then it will be awesome for me to sleep tomorrow, so then sheishan hayom. Absolutely, in that situation, he can sleep today, because he's not over a nether by sleeping today. No, if he sleeps today, then the nether takes effect, and tomorrow he's not allowed to sleep. So we don't say, oh, maybe he'll sleep tomorrow. No, in this situation, he knows the nether is vaday taking effect in this situation. So even Rabbi Yehuda would say in that situation that there's no problem over here. It's not a Shema situation. This is a vaday situation, and we all agree that in a vaday situation, a person will be very careful and won't be over his nether. As we explain, as we turn to Tesvav and Aleph, when does Rabbi Yehuda Amarav or Rabbi Yehuda say Kilo Mizdaya? When is a person not going to necessarily be careful? And therefore, we have to be concerned. Shema, if we sleep tomorrow, then retroactively, been over his nether today by sleeping. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda Amarav said, don't sleep today. That's because it's a Tanah. It's not clear that that will happen. Maybe he'll sleep tomorrow, maybe he won't. So therefore, he won't be so careful today. And therefore, he won't be so careful tomorrow. In that situation, we have to be concerned. Avo b'isura mizdair. But when it's a vaday over here, in this situation, if the person sleeps today, he knows he's 100% also to sleep tomorrow. So then, even Rav Yehuda will admit to Rav Nachman that a person can be careful in that situation and will not go to sleep. So, we're still in the middle of this sugya. We're going to discuss this a little bit more tomorrow. But this is a good break point. So, with this, we conclude today's shiur.